This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
This morning, my thought was really, really put in my heart several weeks ago, and I've developed it by the help of God. This morning, I want to give to you how to live in demon days. The book of 1 Kings, chapter number 14, in verse number 1, God's had me in 1 Kings the last couple of messages and weeks, and I'm back there this morning. The Bible says, at that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to the wife, be known to be the wife of Jeroboam. Get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people. Take with thee 10 loaves and cracknels and a cruse of honey and go to him." What Jeroboam there is trying to do is he's trying to bribe the man of God. He's trying to bribe that prophet so he gives him a good word. And the Bible says, verse number 4, "Jeroboam's wife did so and arose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age." I don't want you to turn here, but I want you to look on the screen. In 1 Samuel chapter number 14 and verse number 3. 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse number 3. "And Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod." Brothers and sisters, here in chapter number 14 of 1 Kings, you have the reign of Jeroboam that we talked about a little bit last week. Jeroboam has opened the floodgates to idolatry. And Israel had always been a people that was subject to run this way to idols and run that way to idols. But here's what Jeroboam did. He systematized the idol worship. What he did is he made it popular. But what Jeroboam did not know is when he opened up the idol worship, when you throw God out, it forms a vacuum that has to be filled by something. And if you don't serve God, there's only one other choice. You're going to serve the devil. But the devil is not like God. The devil is a counterfeit. He doesn't just come out and say you're serving the devil. What he'll do is he'll put forms and he'll put faces and he'll put facades. And you'll think that I'm really just trying to earn popularity. I'm getting rich, or I'm getting over here. I'm getting this, or I'm getting that. But you're really, if you're not serving God, it opens it up to the devil. That's exactly what Jeroboam did when he threw Jehovah out. He opened it up for the demons. He didn't know it was a demon. He thought it was a golden calf. He thought it was just a little bit of worship over here and a little bit of worship over there. But what he did not know is when he cast God off the throne, he ushered in demonic influence in the nation of Israel. And here we have what happens to demon days. We've got this man whose name is Ahijah. And he's a prophet of God. And he's down at Shiloh and he's all by himself. And we find that down at Shiloh, this prophet of God, who is in the minority and he doesn't have any friends and he doesn't have anybody in his house, he's having to navigate through these demon days. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I both know that this nation was formed and fashioned on the laurels of Christianity and the Word of the living God. Whenever your forefathers would teach their kids in schools how to read, they didn't pull out a room. They didn't pull out a book on English. They didn't pull out a book on math. They would give them an old blackback King James Bible, and they would teach them how to read by reading the Bible. They didn't do it by pulling out this map, and they didn't pull it out by doing that map. They taught the youngins how to read by giving them John and Matthew and Mark and Luke. That's how the youngins in this nation began to read. But as we got smarter and as we got wiser and as we got more education, here's what would happen. We would begin to say, you know what? Maybe there is a better way than God's way. Maybe there is a better way than this way called the church way. Maybe there is a better way than this way we call the old ship of Zion, the old gospel way that leads to home. Maybe there is a better way. And we began to ask God, God, don't sit on the throne of this and don't sit on the throne of that. God, we don't need you to sit on the throne of science, and we don't need you on the throne of math anymore. We don't need you on the throne of education and English. And as we remove God off the throne, what we did not know was that when we pulled God off of this, we were leaving an empty throne, and the thrones of power and authority will not be unoccupied in the world that you and I live in. And as God was cast off the throne, the devil slowly put his people and his demons in power. And one day we woke up and we didn't realize, why is it so hard to live? Why is it so hard to function? Why is it so hard to think? Why is it so hard to raise kids? Why is it so hard to get a business off the ground? Why is it so hard to do all of these things? I feel like I'm fighting against somebody pushing against me. I feel like I keep hitting this brick wall where I felt like my grandparents had the blessing of God. Now I feel like I've got the blisters of God. I feel like they had the pushing of God. Now I feel like there's something pushing back. Do you know why? Because when they pulled God off the throne, they opened up our nation to demons. And now you and I are living in demon days. Let me give you a few things if I can. Number one, you've got to understand, these are demonically oppressive days. Everywhere you turn, you are finding that you can't think straight. Everywhere you turn, you're finding that there's a temptation on the hand. I went the other day to try to buy a Dr. Pepper and a pack of Skittles, and I found you can't even go buy a Dr. Pepper and a pack of Skittles at the Dollar General without having some type of temptation that's alluring your eyes. Some of you ladies, you can't even turn the television on without something on there that's been photoshopped 100 times telling you you're not good looking and you're not pretty and you're not beautiful. You can't even watch a program at night. I was trying to watch Jeopardy the night, wanted to see Alex Trebek last appearance, and there were 14,000 commercials on beer, 5 commercials on how I need this drug and how I need that over there to make my life better. Here's what we don't understand. When you don't center this thing in God, you will open it up to the demons. That's why some of you have a hard time thinking straight. That's why some of us have a hard time praying. That's why it's so hard to live and walk and breathe in an old time way. That's why your kids have a hard time at school, because every classroom is filled with the pressing down of the demons of hell. That's why every restaurant you go in, you feel like you don't belong there. That's why every place you go in, you feel like I can't think right, because these are demonically oppressive days. Number two, these are demonically overrun days. Here's the problem that I'm finding as I'm looking around in this world. You know, it used to be that you could go and at least find solace in a place. For some people, it was the house of God. For some people, it was the church of the living God. But here's what's happened in our day. As we have opened up the floodgates to demons, and as these have turned into demon days, as we have done this, you can't even go to the house of God and find refuge many times. How many churches have you been in where you felt like there really was power, and there really was authority, and there really was the movement of the Spirit of the living God, and you felt like there really was unction in the preacher's soul, and you felt like there was unity in the church's heart, and you felt like there was love flowing like honey from another world? No, you go into church and you're wondering who's thinking about who, who's mad at who, who's messed up with somebody over there. You know why? Because demons are overrunning our nation. They're at the Dollar General. They're at the gas station. They're in the house of God. Used to, when some of you were coming up, you would go to church and there may be 2 or 3 people that had dealt with some type of demon, some type of problem problem that week, some type of real issue where they've been oppressed by the devil. That is not the case anymore, brothers and sisters. If I was a betting man, and I'm not a betting man, but if I was a betting man, I'd almost say that there may only be 5 people in here that have not dealt with the devil this week, that have not been oppressed by the enemy this week, that had not had their mind overrun. Here's what I'm telling you. These are demonically oppressive and demonically overrun days, but number 3, they are also demonically overtaking days. The demonism doesn't work in this day, probably like it has in days gone by. In the old times, here is what the devil would do. The devil would try to get to your life, your marriage, your thoughts first, and then he would take over your mind. That's not what the devil does now. The devil comes at you with discouragement. The devil comes at you with insufficiency. You feel like I can't be enough. You feel like I can't say enough. Feel like I can't earn enough. Feel like I'm never going to be a good enough wife. Never going to be a good enough husband. Never going to be a good enough parent. Never going to be a good enough preacher. Never going to be a good enough Christian. Never going to be able to build a church. Never going to be able to succeed at business. Never going to be able to do what my wife needs done. Never going to be able to be all my kids need. And everywhere you go, your mind is in a battle, and you wake up tired. You know why? You've been fighting demons all night long, and your spirit's been battling while your body's been asleep. That's why you wake up tired, and you go to bed, and you want to go to sleep, but you can't sleep. You know why? What's that mind start doing as soon as you lay down? You say, well, I'm just an anxious person by nature. No, ma'am, and no, sir. You are not an anxious person by nature. The devil knows that if he can get your mind working in 1,000 directions, thinking about what tomorrow's going to hold and what tomorrow's going to be like, how you're never going to get it done, how you're never going to get it accomplished. My God, I feel like preaching on a Sunday morning. Here's what he's doing to the people of God. He's telling you that tomorrow's going to be more than you can handle, and tomorrow's going to be more than you can hold, and tomorrow's going to be more than you can battle, and tomorrow's going to be more than you can overcome. Here's what he'll do. By the time you get to tomorrow, you're already defeated and you're already overrun, and by the time you get down, when you feel like there is no victory, then he brings the temptation into your life, then he brings the issue into your home, then he brings the issue into your marriage. Here is what I'm telling you. I want to remind you, let me clear me off a spot with my 11s. I used to be 10 and a half, my feet got fat. Let me peel me off a spot right here with my size 11 C's and tell you that the devil may be big, but God is bigger, and the devil may be great, but our God is greater. There may be oppression, and there may be enemies, and there may be anxieties, and there may be problems, and the demons of Jeroboam may be overrunning, but greater is he, and greater is he, and greater is he, and greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The devil is a liar. The enemy is a liar. You are not defeated. You are not going down. I'm heaven bound with the hammer down. I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. Ladies and gentlemen, we can live and survive and work in these demon days, but we got to do it right. We got to do it right. How do you live in demon days? These are not dark days. These are demon days. These are not depraved days. These are demon days. These are not depressing days. These are demon days. Let me give you 3 things. Number 1, straight out of this scripture. How do I live in demon days, preacher? Number 1, you've got to revel in your conversion. Revel in your conversion. What's the word revel mean? Lay yourself down in it. Get happy about it. Bury yourself in the sand of what that is. Revel in your conversion. Now here, do you remember that verse I read you at the beginning of the message in 1 Samuel chapter number 14 and verse number 3? Let's put that back up, Miss Kim. I want you to watch something. The Bible says, and Ahiah, he was the son of Ahitub. He was the brother of Ichabod. He was the son of Phinehas. That word Ahiah, that word Ahiah is the same man that we're reading about in 1 Kings chapter 14. These are the same people. They're both from Shiloh. They're both priests, and they both have the same name that means the same name and or means the same thing. And when the Bible does that, it is a way of showing you that it is the same person. Now look at that verse right there. Here's what that verse tells us. It tells us that this man, he was the son of Ahitub, but he was the brother of Ichabod. Do you remember back in 1 Samuel chapter number 3, 4, and 5? There was a high priest on the high priest throne whose name was Eli. And Eli had two sons that were godless. Their names were Hophni and Phinehas. And Hophni and Phinehas were so wicked and vile that they would bring the curse of God on that nation. God told Eli, your boys are going to die. God told Eli, I'm going to kill them in a battle. And here's what happened. On the day that Hophni and Phinehas were dead, they died that day in the battle. Phinehas had a wife, and on that day, she was giving birth to the son of Phinehas. And when the woman gave birth, she was so hard in birth pains, the Bible says her life was leaving her. And as her life left her that day, the Bible says a prophet comes in and says that Eli is dead, Hophni and Phinehas are dead, and the ark of the covenant of God, the glory of God, has been stolen away. When she hears that, she names that boy Ichabod. The word Ichabod means in the Hebrew, the glory has departed. Now watch that verse. That man Ahiah or Ahijah in 1 Kings 14. Every time somebody mentioned his name in 1 Samuel, you know what he was connected with? He was connected with the man of no glory. He was connected as the man that had no glory. He was connected as the man that had no glory. He was connected as the man that had no glory. Now look back at 1 Kings chapter 14. Do you know what the name Ahijah means in the Hebrew? Here's what it means. It means Jehovah is my brother. Jehovah is my brother. In 1 Samuel 14, who was the brother of Ahiah? Ichabod. In 1 Samuel, his brother was a man of no glory. But in 1 Kings, something happened. And he got a new name. Back there, he was the brother of no glory. But in 1 Samuel 14, my God, I know where I'm going. You don't know where I'm going. That's why I'm happy and you're not. Here's what they said in 1 Kings 14. In 1 Samuel 14, he was the brother of no glory. But in 1 Kings 14, Ahijah, he's the brother of Jehovah. In 1 Samuel, he's the brother with no glory. But in 1 Kings, he's the family of God. In 1 Samuel, he's the family of the one that lost the glory. But in 1 Kings, he's the family of the Most High God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how you live in demon days. You've got to be excited about the fact that no matter what happens, your name has been changed. You are not what you used to be. I know you used to be a drunk. I know you used to be an adulterer. I know you used to run around. I know you weren't altogether perfect. I know you've got problems. But there has been a change in your life on that good, glad, glorious day when the precious Holy Ghost of God arrested your soul, locked you in the arms of grace, baptized you in the blood of Christ, brought you up whiter than the driven snow, and he gave you a new name. I know you used to be that over there, but you know what you are right now? You are a child of the Most High God. I know your daddy was this, but can I tell you what your daddy is now? Your daddy may have been a drunk, but your father is God. I know he may have been an adulterer, but your father is God. You've got to remember, the devil and the demons know everything about your past. They know what you did. They know where you've been. They know how you acted. They know what you said. They know where you live. They know who you did it all with, but they will not let you forget it. They're going to bring it up to you every time that you try to get away from it. They're going to tell you how sorry you were. They're going to tell you how bad you were. They're going to remind you you were Ichabod's brother. Your daddy's gone. You've got no glory. You know what you need to do? Stop letting your tail go between your legs, stand up, throw your chest out, put your shoulders back, and remind them, the day I got born again, the day I got saved by the grace of God, I got baptized in the family of God, and I'm now the son or daughter of the Most High God. I know I used to be that, but right now I am this. I know I used to go there, but right now I'm here. I know I used to act like that, but I'm still saved, sealed, signed, delivered, and I'm on my way to heaven. You know what you've got to remind the devil of? Every single day of your life. You've got to tell Him, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. When He tells you you're not really saved, you tell Him, I am saved. When He tells you you're going to hell, you tell Him, I really ain't going to hell. When He tells you you're no good, you remind Him, I know I ain't no good, but I met the one that was really good. I met the one that was altogether good. And because I met the one that is good, altogether good, and forever good, I'm going to be in Him. I'm in Him. He's in me. I've got Him. He's got me. You revel in the conversion. You're saved no matter how ugly the days get. Man, it's amazing. We wake up every day and we act like we're hellbound. I can't believe water heater go out. I can't believe my roof leaking. I can't believe my car's broke down. I'm just giving you a glimpse into what my life has been like for the last 4 weeks. I can't believe my pants don't fit no more. And some of you got real serious issues. Some of you, the doctor told you what you didn't want to hear. Some of you, the people around you have thrown you to the side. But beloved, remember this. No matter what comes your way, no matter what the world says, no matter where they go, no matter how bad this world gets, if the whole world locks us up, they may put us in jail, but they can't put us in hell. They may put us in a cell, but they won't throw us in the devil's hell. We are saved. We are signed. We are sealed. We are on our way to heaven. We're as good as there. Paul said we're seated together in heavenly places. You know what that means? I'm not got a place at the table. I'm already sitting at the table. It's as if I'm already there. My nameplate's there. My napkin's unfolded, and my fork and my knife, my cup is filled. I'm seated. You've got to revel in your conversion. Now I want you to watch something here. You got to rejoice in your companion. You've got to rejoice in your companion. Now, if you're following me, which I'm looking at some of you in the eyeballs, and I'm almost 1,000% sure you don't have any idea where you are. Some of you were promised a chicken leg if you came into this place, and you're going to find that was the most expensive chicken leg of your life. Say amen right there. Do you remember what we said? Miss Kim, put 1 Samuel 14 back up there. Watch what the Bible says. Now let's put 1 Kings 14 verse number 2 back up there. So you got Ahiah. What's the prophet's name in 1 Kings 14, Ahijah. There's one letter difference. What's the letter? J. In the Hebrew, the way, there is no J in the Hebrew, but the way that that J sound is formed is by adding the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet. It's the Hebrew letter Yod. Y-O-D. You and I, we call it a dot. You know what you put above an I, a lowercase I? Well, let me put it so y'all understand it. You know that thing that pops up when you hit that I button on that phone? That dot? That's a Yod. That's what the Yod is. And when you add a Yod, it changes it in that form. Now here was the point of this. And I got to thinking, Lord, that don't make no sense to me. But you know what they find about that Yod? That Yod is the smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet, but it is in every single letter of the Hebrew alphabet. You can't make one single letter, one, without that alphabet, or without that letter Yod. You know what they call that Yod? They call it the letter of God's presence, because it's in every single letter. Ahijah, he lost the glory because he's at Shiloh. What used to be at Shiloh? The Ark of the Covenant. It's gone. It's in Jerusalem. Ahijah used to have the ability to go to Jerusalem. He can't. Jeroboam put a wall up. He used to have the ability to go watch the worship and go listen to the songs of David. He used to have that ability to do all of it. Now all he hears are the cries of Jeroboam's bulls. But every day when he writes his name and he signs with the J and he puts that yod, you know what he knows? I may have lost all that, but I still got God. I may have lost the ability to go to Jerusalem, but I didn't lose God. I may have lost the ability to see the blood flow, but I didn't lose God. I may have lost the ability to go and hear the songs of Zion, but I didn't lose God. Ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of things that we have lost. Some of you have lost loved ones, but you didn't lose God. Some of you have lost your health, but you didn't lose God. Some of you have lost your church, but you didn't lose God. Some of you have lost your sanity, but you didn't lose God. Some of you have lost your income, but you didn't lose God. Some of you have lost your job, but you didn't lose God. Here's what I'm telling you in these demon days. I deal with pastors. I sat with one the other day, and he cried. And he cried and he cried and he said, "Preacher, I don't understand why my church isn't growing. I don't understand why my people don't come. I don't understand where it all went." He said, "I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I don't know where I messed up. I don't know how I've fallen out." And I looked at him and I said, "Brother," I said, "we live in difficult days. We live in demon days. Things are not what they used to be." I looked at that man. I threw my fork down and I said, "I want you to look at me square in the eyeballs, brother." I said, "We may have lost a lot. We may not have big buildings like they used to have. We may not have millions and billions of dollars like they used to have. But there's one thing we've still got in this day, and that is this. We've got the presence of the triune God in our midst. We've got the presence of the Spirit of God. When I wake up, ladies and gentlemen, I may not have big buildings. I may not have big peoples. I may not have all the stuff that everybody else has. But every day when I wake up, I've got the big three with me. I've got God the Father before me. I've got God the Son beside me. And I got God the Holy Ghost over top of me, underneath me, and behind me. Everywhere I go, He is with me. And I know you've lost a lot. I know you've been overwhelmed. I know you've been overworked. I know you've been overrun. And I know you've been oppressed. But lift up your eyes, honey, unto the hills. Whence cometh your help? Your God hasn't forsaken you. Your God hadn't thrown you to the side. He's still there to hear your prayers. He's still there to hear the cries of your heart. He still knows you. He still hears you. And He's still available to His people. We still have God, and He's with us all the days of our lives. People are torn to smithereens, torn to pieces, because the White House and the Congress are run by the Democrats. Can I help your feelings? I'm just going to go ahead and hurt your feelings, help your feelings, whatever you say. You do realize that it ain't run by no Democrat, just like it wasn't run by no Republican. It's run by politicians. You with me? Politicians. And you know what a politician is? Greasy when he needs to be greasy, and slick when he needs to be slick. He's a Christian when he needs to be a Christian, and he's a Catholic when he needs to be a Catholic. He likes Muslims when he needs to like Muslims, and he wants to be around a Buddhist when he wants to be around a Buddhist. You can like that, lump that, bump that, trump that, jump that. That is the truth, and you know it. We've never had a friend in the Congress. We've never had a friend in the sense that they stick with us all through the day, because the moment that it becomes politically insolvent to stand with Jesus Christ, they will turn on you, and they'll rip you up one side and down the other, and you know I'm telling it gun barrel straight. But when the president ain't with me and the Congress ain't with me, I've still got one that sits on a throne up on high, and he looks down low, and he's still the God that commands the Lord's host, and he's still the God of all power and the God of all authority. Until that made some of y'all uncomfortable, let me go back and say it again. We may not have friends in the White House. We may not have friends in the people's house. We may not have friends in the governor's house, but I still got a friend, and he sticks closer than a brother, and he's in God's house, and he's still there, and he's still alive, and he's still on the throne, and he's still with us. He's still God. Rejoice. You've got God. What are you so upset? What do we get so upset about? I'm telling you, I know it's bad, but it ain't badder than God. That ain't a word, but I made it up. It's never bigger than the one that's with you. Never. Then why does it feel like it's falling apart? That's simple. Because God always lets the things that we trust in fall apart, so we find that we can't trust in those things. That's the reason. Number three, how do I live in these demon days? Number three, you must rely on the commands of God. I want you to look in verse number 4. verse number 4 and verse number 5. Go to the end of the verse. The Bible says, but Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. And the Lord said unto Ahijah. You see, Ahijah didn't have the blessing that he always had. You know what he always had? The ability to see what was coming. The ability to discern with his own eyes. It wasn't that way anymore. Darkness had taken over. He was blind. But when he could not see, he could still hear. Brothers and sisters, you and I are no longer going to be able to walk by sight. You and I are no longer going to be able to feel our way through this. You know why? There's too many deceivers. There's too many deceptions. There's too many issues. There'll be people that'll come your way and they'll look right and they'll act right and they'll have all the pleasantries, but they are a wolf in sheep's clothing. It may be a job. It may be a position. It may be a relationship. It may be a decision that you really do believe God told you to do, but there's far too many demons. How do we make it? Notice what it says in verse 5. And the Lord said unto Ahijah. Can I tell you how you'll make it? If you'll fall into this book will fall into you. I know I talk about this all the time, but the Christian life really is this simple. If you'll talk to God, and you'll let God talk to you through His book, you'll be a lot better off than you were doing it your way. You know, we get so messed up. We get so messed up in decisions. We go in a direction because we think it's a good thing. This is the best thing for our family. This is the best decision for my home. This is the best decision for our marriage. And we get 2 or 3 months, 2 or 3 weeks, 2 or 3 years into that, and the whole thing falls apart. The first thing we say is, God, y'all act like y'all ain't never done that. I've counseled far too many of you people. You know I'm telling that right. And here's what we say. God, why is this whole thing falling apart? You know why? Because it was dark and you tried to walk by your wisdom. You can't do that. The Bible makes it clear. When Ahijah couldn't see, he could still hear. Can I ask you a question? How do you think you're really going to survive? A lot of people used to listen to preachers. Find me that many good preachers in this county that you really believe walk with God. That you could really trust if they said go left and you knew God told them to tell you to go left. But I'm going to tell you what you do have. You've got the same book that I have. Beloved, you used to be able to go to good church. Now you go to the right church, they'll steal your wife, take your money, and leave you with nothing. You know why? Because you're living in demon days. You're living in demon days. Beloved, I'm done. Can I ask you a question? How are we going to survive? What do people like me and you do? How are we going to make it? Preacher, why are you get so excited when you preach? Don't you know that hell's outside? Preacher, what? All you ever do is talk about how we can trust in God. How are we going to do that? Don't you know how bad it is? Well, here's what you'll find. God doesn't stay off His throne long. God doesn't let people stay on His throne for any amount of time. And the Bible says that in the last days, perilous times, they will come. But Paul said, but take heart, for these things must be. And when you see the days of Lot, when you look around and you see the days of Noah, he says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Our Lord is coming. Our Savior is coming. The rapture of the church is very soon. Beloved, you don't give up. You don't throw in the towel just because you're living in demon days. You're still saved. You still got a friend. And you still got the Bible. Be encouraged. Don't throw in the towel. Heaven is almost here.